I forget exactly when I became acquainted with Brother Bill Graham, but it seems like we've known each other forever. Amen. A long, long time. He's a great guy. He comes out of Central Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He has been working as Brother Cecil Ballard's assistant pastor for 12 years now over in Marion, Iowa at the Grace Baptist Church. Our kids know Brother Graham. He's highly involved, of course, in the things that go on with our churches as far as the young people, the tournaments, the camps, the conferences. He comes to convention. He and his school are in charge of the arts and crafts department of our school convention, and just a servant's heart and a police background. And God is using that in a very unique way, in a very special ministry to reach folks for Jesus Christ. So, Brother Graham, we're going to get. Would you like a lapel mic, or would you want to just use this one? Do you move around, or you want to? I have a lapel if you want it. This is fine. All right, come on and say a word to us this morning. And you've got till quarter till. And if you take all the time, fine. And if you don't, fine, don't worry about it. And we're glad to have you this morning. Hope you feel at home. God bless you, buddy.
Good morning, folks. How you doing?
Good morning.
I usually say y'all, but I've been here in Iowa so long, it's taken away. I was talking to a gentleman just a bit ago, and he said, from Baton Rouge, where'd your accent go? So it must be gone, but it is a privilege to be here. Honestly, it is, and I want to thank everyone here for the hospitality that you've shown so far. The meal was just wonderful last night. The hotel's fine, and all those gifts that those filled in those bags, that was just way too much. I appreciate it so much. And it's always a privilege to stand in this pulpit with such a great pastor that you have, and I mean that with all my heart. I remember first time I heard him, and seems like every opportunity I hear him preach, he hits that ball of the fence every time, and I appreciate him. I'll tell you what, I guarantee you don't appreciate him the way you should. I just know it because I know folks, but this is a great man of God, and it's my privilege to be here. It really is, and I thank you so much for it. Now, you probably look at me thinking, now, why are you wearing that uniform? Because I want you to remember my ministry.
Amen.
All right, I have a background, just a little bit about myself, and then I'll get into the ministry. But I have 21 years in law enforcement, been a police officer. I did most of my time in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I worked in the projects of the Baton Rouge for the whole time, except for a little time I did undercover. In high school, believe it or not, Brother Angel, I went undercover as a student in school. I know you look at me now and say, how'd you do that? But I did at one time look real young for my age. And so I didn't have one bit of gray hair, and that's the truth, until I got into the ministry. And I started turning gray and turning loose, and so that's just the way it goes. But the Lord, I explain it this way. I was at Central Baptist Church under Brother Buchanan. I was a lay person of church. I taught Sunday school as a deacon, trustee, got involved, and he taught me the things that I know. Folks say, did you go to Bible college? I didn't go to Bible college. I didn't need Bible college because Brother Buchanan just pounded it in. If you know him, you understand what I mean. But I was there, and then Brother Ballard, I just have a little fun with this. Brother Ballard presented an offer that I could not refuse. I was making about $63,000 a year as a policeman, and at the year that I left, and Brother Ballard said, "Come work with me. I will give you $12,000 a year, and you need to get another job." So I got a job at a car wash. This is the truth. I got a job at a car wash picking up cigarette butts during the day, and then I worked in the ministry in the afternoon hours. So, as a job I was qualified for. But honestly, the Lord used that to humble me because police officer is relatively, folks look at that highly, you know. And I was seeing the police cars going through the car wash, and I was picking up cigarette butts, and I was getting a pity party. But the Lord used that to humble me. And so I praise the Lord. You know, I'm now no longer working at the car wash, and I don't have to sing that song anymore, working at the car wash. But so now I went to Cedar Rapids and Marion, and I'm the youth pastor, the assistant pastor, the principal of the school, all those good things. And I got an opportunity to go to the Philippines. And I don't want to miss anything. I'm sorry if I have to cheat a little bit and look at this, but Brother Angel knows I sat in his office and told, he's the first person I told outside my preacher about this ministry. And I had the privilege to go over the last 10 years. I've gone every other year to the Philippines, and I preached at Brother Ed Lorena's youth camp 1 year, the next year it's a youth conference. And I preach there. There's usually 1,200 kids there, teenagers. And it's just been a wonderful opportunity. And in 1 year, he said, you know what? We really have been trying to reach the police department, but we just hadn't had any inroads. Or they're not real receptive. And I understand that, because police officers, if you don't know them, they are a group that do not like outsiders. You know, folks would bring candy and cookies and all these things to police departments to be a blessing to us, and we take them from their hands and walk to the garbage dumpster and throw them in because we didn't trust them. That's just the law enforcement community. You're not trusted. Wrapped candy in the garbage. We just wouldn't eat it. No outsiders. You know, everybody, it's us and them. And that's just the way it is. So when you get pulled over by the law enforcement, you need to understand that that is a reality. And so he said, we don't have an opportunity to get in there. So maybe with your background, we can get in there and preach the gospel. So they invited me to a police academy. They have 17 academies in the Philippines. And each academy has about 700 cadets, and they go to the academy for 4 years. Can you believe that? The police academy, 4 years long, and it's like military training. You live there in the barracks. You don't get to see your family, but once in a while, and they do that for $150 a month. And so I went to the academy, and they allowed me to preach, and I preached on hell. I just preached on hell. And the commander was there, in charge of all the police academies. And afterwards, he came to me and said, I want to get you into all our academies. He goes, if our police officers could hear the gospel, get saved, it would change our country. And the Philippines Police Department, 85% of crime is committed by the police officers. And that's just, they told me that. I don't know that, but that's what they told me. So, anyways, I consented to do so, and I went home and prepared to do that. I bought my plane tickets and prepared to go. And just a couple weeks before I left to go over there, I got a call from Brother Lorena, and he told me that the commander who was in charge resigned and retired, and a new commander inside won't allow you to come preach the gospel. So I was really discouraged. And so I just began praying, Lord, you know what you're doing. I'm just going to trust you to do this. And he called me back a couple of days later, and he said, can you train officers? Well, I've been through the FBI Officer Training Academy to be an instructor for police departments in firearms and defensive tactics and pressure points. That's why my kids love me so much at the youth department. You know, you ought to thank goodness for Brother Jason wherever he's at, because when I discipline our kids, I give them pressure points, and I'm proficient with that. And so, and now you know why our kids are the way they are. But so I sent my certificates from the FBI, my training, and they accepted. Said, okay, come teach. And what I was teaching was their upper echelon, their colonels and their generals and their commanders. And so I put together an officer survival training, and I had DVD or PowerPoint presentation, and I went to just different police departments and taught officer survival. And what I did, I mean, I taught them things that I learned as an FBI instructor, how to survive and live during law enforcement type activity. But what I did afterwards, right at the very end of my presentation, I said, but if you really, truly want to be safe and you want the protection that is bigger than the bulletproof vest and all the training did, you need Jesus Christ in your heart. And I brought my Bible and laid it out there, and I taught those folks, I preached to them the gospel for about 15 minutes. And boy, what a blessing. And I had there was the highest ranking commander there who walked up to me, and I have some things in here I'll show you. But he came up to me, he goes, you know, I'm a Muslim, He goes, and you almost convinced me to be a Christian. I mean, it was just incredible for that to happen. And so I just went around and taught and preached the gospel everywhere. And for some reason, they just kind of fell in love with me. I don't know why. I guess we're all like, I have one of those personalities that you either hate me or you hate me. And, if anybody knows, it would be you folks, because this is home to me. This really is home. I don't feel awkward here at all. I am a little nervous, but that's just normal. But I need a couple things out here. This is also my my fancy table I put out there. I think I want to show you, just so you understand. The last night I was there, they called me, the commanders, all the commanders and the chiefs of the different cities, and they got together and they said, we want to honor you and have a meal for you. And I was blown away, and I get there, and I didn't know, maybe 2-3 officers. I get there, and the whole restaurant is reserved, and they've got this, all the tables just lined up from here to the back door, and all those police commanders are all around, and they have this huge chair in the front for me. And trust me, I'm not patting some back, but you'll just have to, it'll piece together for you in a minute. And they had this huge meal. They presented me with their patches from the police departments. One man, one of the commanders, actually gave me his Philippine National Police Academy graduation ring. He gave me this. They gave me, and I didn't bring it because I couldn't locate it, but it's in my office, they gave me a police badge. The commander in charge gave me, and they're really, to you, it looked like nothing. But this is something he said, if you're ever in the Philippines and you show this right here, we don't give these to anybody unless you are somebody. And, you know, that's what he said. If you show this, you won't have any problems with anybody. And they gave me these things. And really, I didn't understand. I really didn't understand what was going on. But they, at the dinner table, here's where the ministry, got going. They said there was a ministry in America that one time provided a tactical unit with bulletproof vests. They came over and issued vests to this group. On a Friday morning, they issued the vest to the police officers. Friday night, one of the police officers who received that vest, he was shot. It saved his life. And I thought, man, I could do this. You know, I know all these police departments. Everybody I worked with in Baton Rouge, who I worked alongside, they're all commanders now. And or retired. I could have been retired by now, brother. Now I never get to retire. Amen. praise the Lord. But I got involved. I said, I could do something. I could make it. I'll just get these vests. I'll call this ministry. I'll give it to them and be a blessing, because I do love police officers. I do. I go to a restaurant today. If I'm in a restaurant and there's a policeman in that restaurant, or if there's 10 policemen in that restaurant, I buy their meal. I just love police officers. I could do this. So I got home and I asked. I talked to the ministry that was involved, and I honestly came to the conclusion that I could not support a ministry like that. They, you know, not to go into great detail, they were not of like faith. You know, if you attack my King James Bible, then we have nothing in common. And so, this is the Word of God. It doesn't have 22,000 errors in it. That's from the dollar menu. That's free. But I said I can't support that. So I thought to myself, you know what? I could do this. And Signal 63 was born that day. 63 means this. If I call for backup, headquarters, send me a unit, I need backup, they'll get and they'll go. You know, but if I get on a radio and say, break headquarters, Signal 63, every police officer in the town knows what that means. And it doesn't matter what they're doing, what's going on. They could have prisoners in their back seat. They are going to go there, lights and sirens. They're going to get there. A signal 63. It means officer needs assistance. So that's where Signal 63 came from. And so it was born then. And, you know, in these little pieces I got to explain to you, and I promise I'll get done in time. But obviously, if you know anything about churches in America right now, fundamentalism, we're struggling financially. You know, you talk to pastors, and they call me, and the first thing we talk about, oh, man, we didn't make our budget. You know, I didn't make our budget this month. That's just the way it goes. And we had just took a pay cut at church across the board. And you say, are you talking bad? I talk to Brother Ballard. He knows what I'm saying, and there's a reason for me saying that. I'm not bad-mouthing God because God knows what he's doing. But we took a pay cut. We did have the church putting in a little retirement fund. We had to stop that. And just some other things financially just didn't go right. And so that just took place. And I had just, so I went out and got a job as a security guard a couple nights a week at Mercy Hospital. And so those things are going on. And it takes a couple days to get over the fact that you just took a pay cut. And just so happens, the next day, the chief of Baton Rouge, the chief of police of Baton Rouge, who was a friend of mine, he wasn't the chief when I left, he was just a regular patrolman, he called me. I answered my cell phone. I don't even know how he got my cell phone. And he says, hey, you're not going to guess who this is. And I said, no, I don't know who you are. And he goes, this is Chief Jeff LaDuff from police department, and I have an offer for you. I want to offer you your job back. You can have your job back. I'll put you in the same position you were when you left. I've been gone 12 years. I'll give you the same position. You'll keep your rank. You'll keep your retirement. If you'll work for me for 6 years, you will retire with 100% benefits. That means 90% of my highest 3 years I get every month. He said you'll retire with medical benefits and dental benefits, and all you got to do is give me 6 years. I'll be honest with you, folks. You know, I thought about it, seriously. I went into Brother Ballard's office and I told him, I said, this is what has taken place. I want you to pray with me about it. He said, look, Brother Graham, if that's what you decide, I wouldn't blame you at all. I wouldn't say anything bad about you. I'd understand. And because he felt guilty, responsible for the, you know, and it's not his, but that's just the way he is. You know, Brother Ballard, greatest guy you could ever work for, I'll be honest with you. And so we prayed. One morning I was reading my Bible, and I was reading Jeremiah, and clear as bell, God told me, and that's, by the way, that's how God speaks to you. So if you haven't spoke to in a while, open your book. And the Lord spoke to me and said, and told me, you know what, guess what? This is where you're supposed to be. I knew clear as, I mean, I knew I was to stay in the ministry. I knew that's what God had showed me in the Bible. And so that day I said, okay, let's go. And I made a phone call to the Cedar Rapids Police Department, whom I work for now as a reserve officer, and told them about the opportunity. Hey, I need some vests. And he says, well, I'm interested in that. Now, let me just tell you this. Right then, I hung up, and I got a phone call from a Lieutenant Potter from the Cedar Rapids Police Department, and his daughter works with me at Mercy Hospital. And he said, hey, I just wanted to call you and tell you that my daughter talks of you, and I want to thank you for being a gentleman around my daughter. And, you know, I was like, whatever, you know, sure, okay, yeah. And but it does piece together. So I said, no problem, Lieutenant Potter. You know, and thanks for being a witness to her. He's a Christian. Thanks for being a witness. And that was it. That was it. Then I called the chief again, and he says, okay, I got it cleared. You're going to get the vest. He goes, but there's only one problem. You have to clear this with our quartermaster. Well, I don't know who the quartermaster was. That's the person who takes care of all the supplies. I said, well, okay, great. Another hurdle. I thought the chief was just brushing me off. You got to get permission from quartermaster, and he's thinking in his head, or I'm thinking, he's never going to let me. So, all right, give me the name of the quartermaster. He said, his name is Lieutenant Potter. I think I said, praise the Lord on the phone to the chief. He said, huh? I said, it's all right. So I called the quartermaster, and he said, you better believe it. We're going to do it. We're going to do that. And so as of this time, I've got 110 vests sitting in the basement of my house. What we did, these are the vests right here. These are the carriers for them. And we had some seamstress in our church because these get tore up. You're just moving around, and you know, for some reason, the center section of our bodies as a policeman grow. And it's equipment. Trust me, it's equipment. And I didn't wear my gun belt because I didn't know how y'all would react to that. You know, plus, I'm teaching in the teen church, and I don't want to be tempted to use it. So I didn't wear my gun belt, but these vests, they get wore out on the gun belt, moving constantly, they tear. And so our ladies made this is made by the ladies in our church, so we kind of refurbish them, clean them up, and we'll send them over there to the Philippines and do that. Now, here's the ministry part of it that I want to make sure I get to you. It's not just giving vests to policemen to save their physical body. What this is allowing me to do is have an inroad in the police departments to preach the gospel. Now, before, they never could get in there and preach to these guys. Since I've been there, we've had 10 commanders saved. And the second in command of the whole National Police Department. It's not like America. They have one police department. It'd be like for the whole United States. And the second in command, he got saved. And so they want us in there now. And now they're having less Sunday school lessons and Bible lessons. And they want me to come back. This is just God. Let me just. I think I turned my phone off. But, you know, but I'm going to turn it on again. And I want to read something to you. This morning, I got this morning, an email from a policeman I met over there. Hi, well, you have to forgive it. They call me Dr. Bill. I'm not a doctor at all, but they call me Dr. Bill. Hi, Dr. Bill, how? The English is not that great. Just excuse it. Hi, Dr. Bill, how? Hope you doing fine. Sorry if now I can send you a message because we are very busy. Until now, we are conducting checkpoints in relation to the upcoming 2010 election in May. We seize firearms or so-called, I don't even know what that is, gun ban. That's why we're very busy. Dr. Bill, you told me that in the month of March, you are going to be here in our country. Is that true? I hope so because I miss you and our friendship. Time to say goodbye, take care always, and God bless Dr. Bill. Regards to your family. See you soon. That's a Filipino police officer. That's the one who gave me the ring. And they're using terminology that is opening the opportunity for us. Now, here's how it works. I get the vests. It'll work here. I get a hold of Brother Angel and tell him about this. And hopefully, you'll have an opportunity to introduce me to a police department here. I travel here. I meet the police department. I talk to them about it. And I've not had one police department turn me down yet. Not one. Not one. When they hear they're helping fellow police officers, brothers, they're more than willing to do so. And most of our vests, we're going to help the soldiers line the cars. But now the government says they can't do that. So now they have the vests available for me. And so here's what it works. It helps him get a relationship with the police officers because they're going to remember. Trust me, policemen remember who's on their side. And they're going to remember that you helped fellow police officers somewhere else. So that's an inroad for you. And when you have your Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, if you have one, we have it every year, they're going to come. And so you'll have an opportunity. Now listen to me. I was invited to a Law Enforcement Appreciation Day at Brother Buchanan's before I was at his church. I heard him preach. I remember that big guy pointing his finger down. And I turned to my wife and said, "This is where we're going to church." So that's one way it helps. And then secondly, how does it help? It helps the missionary. Your son is in Madagascar, and what if I can travel over there and give your son 100 police vests to give to that police department? You don't think they're going to remember your son if there is a time of need? And if you know missions at all, there are times when you need the help of policemen, because they're sometimes more of a hindrance to the mission than not. And they're going to remember, hey, this guy cares for us. He got it, because they're not going to afford these. These are $700 a piece. They can't. A policeman in the Philippines makes $150 a month. And so they're going to remember that. And I believe it could keep missionaries safe and their families. And they're not going to be willing to listen. You know, if you have a good relationship, they had a man come to our church not too long ago, and he was wanting money. That happens all the time. And he smelled like cigarettes, and you come to my office and you're smelling my room up like cigarettes. You're not getting a dollar from me. I just forget it. You know, I'm not going to do it. And he kind of got obnoxious with me. And Brother Angel knows this. Something clicked. I went from pastor to police officer real fast. And this guy was 6'5", and I forgot, you know, that I'm not as in good a shape as I used to be. I know it surprises you. It does. This vest is a little tight that I got on, too. But to make a long story very short, I got him out of there real fast. You don't want to hear. Brother Ballas said, "Don't ever tell that." No. It's a pressure point. So I exited him out the door, and I don't think he'll ever come back. Well, he went to the police department and made a complaint against me that I was a very rough guy. And the policeman came in to me, who I know very well. He looked at me and said, "Man, that guy was big. He's lying, is he?" And I said, "You bet he is." And so he called that guy back on the phone and says, "I just want you to know that you're a liar. I believe him, not you. Don't ever come back again." He hung up. And that's what you get when you have a good relationship with the police department. And then I just asked the Lord to forgive me. Okay? I am embellishing a tad. But I have to say that. That's how it would work on the mission field. It will work that way. So it's a threefold ministry. And then lastly, as in the Philippines, I've had an opportunity to go in. And you read the email. That's just a commander of the police department. So when you coming back, come back. Hurry up, come back. And they know what I mean, God bless you. It's a Muslim. God bless you. Can't wait to see you. So I'm excited about the opportunity that God has for me. And I just ask you to pray with us. Now, I had some prayer cards shipped here, and they didn't make it. Maybe they'll get here on Monday, and I'll put them out there. But if you'll think about it, it could really be a blessing in churches, a mission field, and just around the world. Now, here's my goal, what I want to do, and then I'm done. I want to travel a little bit more, if possible. There's a ministry in California who has the chief of police in their church. And they said, "You need to come out here and present this to them." And I'd like to go around and present this. Because what happens, these vests are, we get these vests and we can keep them for 3 years, 3 to 5 years. And so to have a continual flow going out, I need to contact a lot of police departments, because they're all getting their vests at different times. So if I've got 20 police departments saying, "Hey, we're going to give you vests, all year long I'm going to be getting these." I picked up 46 3 days ago. They just called me, "Hey, we want to get involved, we're going to get them." And then they said, "As a matter of fact, every time we get new vests, you get our old ones." And so that's what I want to do. But to ship a box I've got 100 vests that take 6 boxes. Each box costs $200 to ship because these are heavy. But Angel, feel how heavy these are. But they're thick. They really are thick. They're heavy and thick. And so it doesn't take much to make 50 pounds. So I've got a, it costs $200 to do that. So it just costs money. And again, yeah, I understand, you know, you shouldn't talk about money. I'm talking about money, you know, because that's what it takes. And here's my answer. If I don't get support, if I don't get help, I don't care. I'll work more hours at night at the hospital. I'll put it on a credit card. I'll do whatever it takes because I know that's what God wants me to do is go. So I sat in that back office and told Brother Angel about the ministry. And here's what he said. He goes, are you going to pick up support? And at the time, I said, well, really, I don't know. I just think I'm going to just do this first set. And I have 153 United miles, which would get me there and back 3 times. And so I went to call the other day to get my miles, to get my plane tickets, because I was leaving March the 11th. And for some reason, my miles expired. They told me February 22nd, but they did it early. And I've done everything I can possibly do to get it. So I've got to come up with plane tickets, because you cannot ship vests. The law will not allow you to ship vests without me being there with you. It's... you know, some new terrorist type thing. They're not sure who they're going to get the hands on. And so those are concerns. And I don't have a problem with that. That's okay. But I just pray. Number one, I need prayer support. Number two, I could use financial support. Brother Buchanan called me on the way here yesterday. He said, when you go, you come down here. And he goes, and I'm gonna help you. I'm going to give you some money to go. So just a great opportunity for you. And for me, and I'm just I really am excited because God's doing things. It's all God doing everything. And so I appreciate the opportunity. It's a blessing the Lord's allowing me to do. I thought I was done in law enforcement. I really did. I didn't quit the police department because I didn't like it. I left the police. You understand this. I could be retired today. I could, Brother Angel. I'd be done. I had served. My years have been over with, retired. And my dream was to sit on a river somewhere in a cabin in Louisiana and fish. That was my dream, really. I mean, I obviously served the Lord, but I wanted to retire and fish. And I could be retired, but I know God's got something for me to do. And so I'm not finished anymore with law enforcement. I'm just getting started. And so I appreciate your time. Thank you, Brother Angel.
That's a blessing, isn't it? You'd be hard-pressed to deny the hand of God and all that. Those phone calls and the way everything worked out. I didn't even think about this Wednesday night when I brought the lesson. If you're here Wednesday night, entitled, What Could God Do With You? What could God do with you? Acts 14, the Bible says that God worked with them, with Paul and Barnabas. He worked with them. And that's what God's doing with Billy Graham. I should have put on the sign out there, come here, Reverend Billy Graham. That's what I should have done. And we'd had a house full this morning. Amen. Brother Graham's a down-to-earth man. You can see that. He's no stranger here. Y'all know him. Been here many times and for different things. And this is to me, it's unique. That's why I encouraged him to raise support. Or if I encourage you, we talked about raising support, and I asked him if he could come here. It's a little different than, you know, pure Bible missions. By the technical definition, is winning folks to Christ, baptizing them, and starting churches. We understand that. He understands that. But this is so unique and so specific, so need-specific, and the inroads so clear that I felt like it was worthy of our church to consider for financial support. And, you know, I told the missionaries last night, these folks that are here, these 5 families, they're not here on trial. They wouldn't be here if we didn't know what they believed and how they practiced their faith, if they weren't brothers and sisters, I mean, to the point of practicing and the right Bible and everything. So they're not on trial here. The only thing that needs to happen is we need a good faith promise commitment for the year 2010. I broke it down for you last Sunday night. If we can get that increase, we can take on these five families, and Bill Graham would be one of them. And I'd love to. Now, he's not going to have to go out and raise $4,000 and $5,000 a month like some of these missionaries. He just needs a little bit coming in so he can make these trips. And I'll tell you what, folks, you can't work with the airlines. They won't work with you. That don't surprise you. You know, trying to go to Madagascar and having to cancel twice, I lost $1,800. And I even wrote personal letters explaining the situation that the State Department sent us an email and said, do not travel. Didn't matter United. Didn't matter them at all. And it cost $450 per ticket every time you had to rebook. So the airlines have no compassion. They have nothing. They don't work with you at all. So it doesn't surprise me a lick about your frequent flyer miles. But man, just a little bit of money a month, and he can be, you know, he can have the best, pay for the shipping, get a plane ticket, hopefully, like he says, expand from the Philippines to other police departments around the world. And I don't know. To me, the potential is unbelievable. And believe me, you say, well, this man will. I think his track record is pretty clear. He will preach the gospel to him. He won't shy away from doing that. So, Brother Graham, thank you. I had you in this hour on purpose because it's so unique, so need specific. I just thought it'd be good for our adults to hear this. It was a blessing, wasn't it? Just a real blessing. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope you will. You know, police officers are horribly underpaid people when you consider what they're paying professional athletes to do. And you say, well, there's some bully officers. Yeah, there's some bully plumbers. There's some bully pastors. There's some goofball everybody's. That's true. But by and large, the police family is a good family. You know, since Ron retired from barbering, had to go to a different barber. And I was in the barber shop here, a couple months ago. And as Earl was cutting my hair, I was looking out the window, saw somebody pass by. I said, oh, here comes so-and-so for a haircut. He works for the Kankakee Sheriff Department. He's an officer, Sheriff Department. Guy came in and sat down, very quiet. And so got my haircut, and it came time to go. And the haircut's $12, and I always give Earl a dollar, so it's 13 bucks. And so I pulled 26 bucks out of my pocket. He said, what do you? I said, I want to pay. You say he was a police officer. He said, yeah, he's at the Sheriff's Department. I said, I want to pay for his haircut. The guy got up out of his chair, walked over, and I was able to introduce myself to him, invite him to our church services, and pay for his haircut. I appreciate the policeman. People badmouth them until you need them. That's the truth. And the Bourbonnais Police Department's been very good to us as a church, very helpful. And so he's right, though. They are a community. You know that. And so what an opportunity here. And God bless you, Brother Graham. Thank you so much. You did a great job. How many churches have you presented this in? Second church. Well, praise the Lord. We're glad you came. Amen.